Welcome to another edition of Authentically Moms. This is Jacqueline, and we...
Nothing is off limits, and we keep it real.
That is not to jot it. So this week, we're doing a little special edition. It's spring break, and Sujata and I are away, so I thought it would be a good idea for me to have Chaz on the podcast, and who is my husband. And we are going to talk about a little bit of our relationship. I think it's really different than a lot of people's relationship, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot of things.
It's making me really nervous off the bat, but go with it. Let's go with it.
And it's been a while since he's been on the mic, so he's kind of being goofy about it. But just to give you a little background story, we met at work many ages ago. I was 23 and you were 25. I was living with my boyfriend at the time when I started. And he was a manager, not my manager, but he was a manager at the company that we were working for. So what were your... When you first saw me, what were your impressions of me?
This is going to be really, really tacky for telling the story. So, I remember seeing you walking down. So we had this long hallway. It was sort of like this circular hallway in the building. And I remember seeing you turn the corner. And I was sitting there talking to the person who became your manager. Mm-hmm. It was Chad and I were talking. Yeah. And I saw you and like, no bullshit, time slowed down. Like it flat out did. I don't think there was like the cheesy like 80s theme song playing, but like it slowed for sure. For sure. And you came up, you asked Chad something, you walked off, and I turned to Chad and I just said, "Who was that?" And he said, "Oh, that's Jacqueline Haas." And that made sense because we, from a recruiting perspective, all new hires every week, we'd go through the list of people that were about to start or and were taking their licenses. So so you were a name like, you know, like most people that came through that I had seen on, mm-hmm. on paper.
So now you saw my face.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But, like no doubt it was a dead in my tracks, love at first sight deal. 100%.
Are you going to ask me the same question?
No, because the answer isn't as flattering as...
It wasn't that... You know, it. I had a boyfriend. I was living with a boyfriend. So when I saw you, it wasn't exactly like, you know, I was looking at anything else.
No, it was just here's a dude standing. Here's a dude
trying
hallway.
To teach me shortcuts on how to take the Series 7.
Yeah, see, that wasn't the first. So you remember it, right? That wasn't the first time that
I always,
sort of like
okay,
saw you.
Okay, just to preface it, I remember everything different than how Chaz remembers everything.
Hold on a second. That's not a different memory. It just is like...
Different in my mind. Well, not the same. I don't remember... Yeah. I do not remember seeing you in the hallway. Yeah. I do not remember asking someone a question who was standing right next to you. I don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
But I actually left his class early because I was like, this guy is just getting me confused because I had already had my own... tricks and shortcuts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So let's give context behind that really, really, really quick.
Okay.
No, just what you're talking about in terms of class. So, right. So the time that you're talking about, uh-huh. right? I would teach every week, sort of like shortcuts to one of the licenses as part of like the weekly check-ins.
Yeah.
And so this is what you're talking about happened. After that time that you, okay. you know, that you came through, because I knew who you were, mm-hmm. And that moment had happened
already.
That I saw you had happened already, which makes what you're about to talk about that much more devastating for me.
So then I walk out the class
In the middle of it.
In the middle of class, because I knew if I stayed there, I was just going to get everything wrong.
And no, can I be excused or any of that stuff. It was just like, deuces, I am out.
I was taking it the next week, so I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And he probably thought I was a bitch walking out of his class, but he probably wanted me more.
A gorgeous bitch. I don't think I wanted you more.
But you're like, intrigued?
No, I think it was more like, man, like a bitch. She's beautiful, but she's kind of a bitch, so...
Anyway, I ended up scoring higher than you on the Series 7 itself, so I'm glad I walked out, because if I had stayed longer, I probably would have gotten confused on some things. Anyway, so we started, and I got to know him, and when we hung out, we worked long hours, and we partied, we went to Sherlock's all the time after work, and... I think around that time, I guess just personally, I was having some issues with my boyfriend that I was living with. And we ended up, a couple months into me working, we ended up parting ways, and I got my own apartment and stuff. And so I just started hanging around people from work more. I hung around Chaz more. And then the other part, I think that really made a difference in the relationship. We had a work party, the Christmas party, and it was at your friend's house, and I invited my guy best friend at the time to be my date and to really go there to check out this other guy that worked with us that I was interested in. And I remember my guy friend was like, that guy you asked me to check out is a fucking douchebag, like he's an asshole, I don't know why you like him. And I was like, well, I don't even know him, so thank you for letting me know. But we all met at Chaz's either before or after. But I just remember saying, gosh, I wish I liked him, because he would be like the totally like complete package. But I just was not trying to find anybody. I really wanted to just hoe around. I had never had that opportunity to do that. And so I was like, okay, listen, I just came out of a relationship, not only long term, but like live with them. I just want to like just date lots of guys. Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about that night. And I don't know if I think I've told you about this, but that night, so you're talking about, right, your friend who's checking out the... As soon as he showed up, though, because, right, we had sort of like the pre-drinks at my house before we came over. My mission, though, was, like, to win that guy's approval. 100%. And this is, like, whether or not that was intentional, I also remember, like, because you've seen Hitch. Most people listen to this have seen Hitch, right? And so there's the scene where Kevin James goes out with a girl. They go to the fashion design thing, and she invites her best friend. And Will Smith is like, no. It's not about the girl. It's about her best friend. Like, you need to make sure that you get his seal of approval, all that kind of stuff. And like, that was, whether or not those were linked or whatever, like that was 100% though what I was thinking. I don't even know if he signed off at all or you had any conversation, but it's just ironic that that happened, because like, I was laser focused from the minute that he showed up.
It
was
like, that guy might be an asshole, but I'm fucking cool. And then a couple weeks after that, my friends threw a party. And I invited him to hopefully have him interested in one of my other friends. And my goal, so I did that. And then I also, on the flip side, did that to see if he could just swim. I hate babysitting people. I'm such a social person, and I hate inviting someone who I have to always like just engage in conversation because they don't want to branch out or speak to anyone that they don't know. So I also kind of was a little test in general, whether for me or like the girl that I was trying to like hook him up with. But he did good. He did really well, considering obviously he was really comfortable with all our work people, but in general, you're more of an introvert in this relationship. I'm not. So after that, I think you were like, no, I'm not interested in that person.
I mean, so hold on a second. Let's be fair, because there are a lot of your friends that are listening to this wondering
who it was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but it was.
But I mean, to me, actually, it wasn't even. It had nothing to do with that person. I was crazy about you, and so for me, I didn't want to have a situation where if I had gotten involved with that person and they were not attractive, fun person, but it wasn't necessarily somebody that I knew, like, there was a feeling that I had for you that was just, mm-hmm. you know, on a whole other level. And so to me, I just viewed it as anything that would jeopardize a shot, I'm not interested.
Not gonna
with say. All due respect to that person. It just, yeah.
Okay. So if I remember correctly, the next thing that was happening was that we just kept getting closer and closer. It was like friends and friends.
I mean, it helped because you had a lot of friends that were at the same apartment complex mm-hmm. that I was at. So you were coming over there. There were social events to begin with. And it was almost weekly that, like, after parties or whatever that were work-related would always come back to, to my place. Because mm-hmm. most people that we worked with were in committed or married relationships, or they were living with other roommates or whatever. And, you know, I had the apartment to myself. So it was sort of like a natural place for all that to happen. So like at Camden Apartments to begin with, there was a lot of social gravity, you could say, that was going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't live too far from you from there either. So we were always hanging out there, but I think it started turning for me, I guess slowly. It was kind of like organic. It was the more I got to know you, the more I got to hang out with you, the more I was like, okay, this guy, I wish I was all into him because he seems perfect. But again, I was super, super, super hesitant because I wanted to just date. I didn't want anything serious. I wasn't trying to get into anything. I literally wanted to just line up a bunch of guys and just go wild. I know that sounds really bad. It didn't sound like that. But I just wanted to date. And wherever the date took us, that was fine. I did not care. I wasn't looking for any attachments at all. So let's just see what I thought. But I think I did. There was one time we went to your house and you started playing the guitar and then you fell asleep in your bedroom. And then I went in there and I remember you got up and put pajama pants on and nothing happened. Right. Like we just passed out. I passed out. But I think that was it. Did something happen? OK, nothing happened that time. And so then when did we actually really get like kissing or something like that? I remember the first time I kissed you, we were sitting outside of Sherlock's and we were in the car.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but that wasn't the first time. I think what you're talking about, like, that actually might have been that night or a night similar. But I know the story that you're about to say. Yeah. And so I think that was after it had happened at least once, because I know the story that you're about to say, and like what you're about to say that I said, like, I wouldn't have had the courage to say what I said if like we hadn't already crossed that plane to begin with. So continue.
Okay. Well, as I remember it, that was the first time. Of course it wasn't, but we were outside of Sherlock's and we were just talking in my car, and I said to him, like, oh gosh, I could just kiss you right now. And you said, well, why don't you? And we made out, and that was great. And then I just don't, like, it's a little foggy for me. I was, like, really partying at that time of my life.
Lining up the guys.
But did, so can you just like, what was the next steps? What happened after that?
We had hung out, but we also would, we did things probably that some people could consider intro dates, but we did completely under the guise of friends, or that it was an understanding that it's not a date.
Because
right?
I wouldn't let you pay for me. I remember that.
Yeah,
specifically.
But I don't know if I actually offered, not out of rudeness, but just deliberately
Nitty-gritty. Yeah. Okay. When was the first time you and I had sex? Were we official or not official?
Not official.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So it was, I had been away on a ski trip, and I came back to Houston. It was either like a Thursday night or a Thursday evening or a Friday evening. Maybe it was a Friday evening. And I came back to work, like to just do the rounds and hang out with people. And I remember going into your office. I knocked on the door. You turned around and like you lit up when you saw me. So we all hung out as a group at Sherlock's. You and I went back to my apartment, and you know, obviously we had been, you know, fooling around to begin with. So it naturally went to that point. I mean, it's tough for me to remember all the details because I was very careful. I felt like if I led too much, that it was way too high likelihood that stuff would get shut down. Like just a relationship would get shut down or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. So as weak as this sounds, I feel like I let you make first move, as much as possible. But yeah, it was that night, like a few days after Christmas.
Okay. Okay. Do you know how many times we had sex? Was it just one time that time?
You mean just like literally that, like those 24 hours? We probably did in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that before or after your dinner that you made me the ultimatum dinner?
That was a month, at least a month before.
Okay.
That dinner.
Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So again, like I said, I did not, while I was happy with what we were doing, I was not looking for a committed long-term relationship. And so Chaz had some suggestions from a friend in particular.
Yeah, well, the two of my best friends that have been giving me advice. One, I had told what was going on. One, I hadn't told, but just knew how much I cared about you and was trying to push for like some sort of official, like just tell her how you feel kind of a deal. And then the other guy said, hey, like you need to just lay down that this isn't going to go on forever so that she doesn't feel like she can just take advantage of you.
Was taking advantage of you.
100%.
You think that's what that was?
No, that's where he was coming from.
But
do
you think that at that time? Do you think I was taking advantage of you?
I honestly probably didn't even know like what to interpret where. It was just, I was just trying to figure out how to not screw things up and be able to just progress things to a relationship, which is what I wanted. Like it felt like just a very, very tough balance to be
okay.
able to do.
So do you think that, I'm just trying to remember like why you were trying to like push me to that, because were you like not enjoying what we were doing, or you just wanted it to get more serious and I just wasn't?
No, it was more the counsel that I was
the
getting.
Counsel.
Well, no, but like what my friend was basically saying is there's no reason for her to have any intention to have it be anything more than it is right now, because you have a physical relationship, you guys are going out to dinner, whatever, like you're doing things as kind of a couple, even though you're not a couple. So
I was basically getting the milk for free.
I wouldn't go so far, but that's basically uh-huh. what he was saying is for somebody who, to your point, like wants to date and do all that stuff, where's the motivation for her to have anything different? Because basically she's getting you, mm-hmm. Chaz, and everything that comes from you, and she doesn't have the limitations. So all you're basically doing is you're just setting yourself up for failure mm-hmm. at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he told you to what?
To basically help you understand that no. Well, look,
an ultimatum.
Yeah, but he didn't use those words, and what I said wasn't literally like whatever. He's like, I just made that shit up on the spot.
But basically
he said, like, help her understand that you're not going to just be exclusive for her, right? So, and that if somebody comes, somebody else comes around, mm-hmm. like, you're going to date them or wherever it is. Like, just she needs to understand that, that the same thing, that the same situation for her is what's going to apply for you.
Right. So he invited me over for dinner. He was cooking that night. So I went to his apartment and he cooks me the most amazing dinner. And then I don't know where in terms of the dinner we were, but I remember you saying something like, guys like me don't stay single for long.
Forever.
That's the one thing that stuck out to me. And I just basically was like, hey, if you're looking for an answer, I can't give you anything. Like, I'm not going to.
Actually, what I think you said, it was much harsher, was like, look, if that's what it's going to come down to, then we might as well just stop doing this altogether.
Yeah,
I think
that's
what it is.
What
like, so I was like, whoa, I overshot with that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. He was like, oh, well, wait. Yes. What I meant to say was, and immediately he was like, fuck you.
Well, yeah, that one, because that was about to be like the worst case scenario.
Well, he didn't tell you about what could happen.
We romantics prefer like slow, painful heartbreak as opposed to like getting the Band-Aid ripped off. We're glutton for punishment.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
But here's the punchline. What happened within 2 weeks from that conversation?
I don't know. Tell me.
You said, I love you, and we were together.
But did I say that when we were having sex?
I think right before we were about to or whatever.
Like
yeah.
physically about to or, yeah. Or getting at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, it was more of like my body reacting to things. But I did start to kind of feel all of the feelings.
I was going to say, we're 18 years down the road. It's a little late to pull that one back.
Well, okay, you made me come around, okay, in the literal sense as well. So I gotta say, I mean, we're very transparent here at Authentically Moms, and I don't know if I told you this, but you are the first guy who has made me orgasm through sex.
I'm glad we are recording this.
This is brought to you by Frias Wine and Four Margaritas.
Can we change the world? Instead of the first person, can we have it be the only person? Because
okay, yes. You are the only. You have been the only person.
Okay.
Like someone came after.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Okay, but in all seriousness, did you say you love me back when I said that? You did? Okay.
Well. First, and I don't know how much you want to unpack
no,
that
go,
thing.
Come
like,
on.
I
mean, we don't need it.
No, but like, I you know, you kind of joke about like it just sort of like blurted out. Like I wanted to make sure that it was legitimate. Because it was more PTSD, like coming, I'd come out of a relationship where we had gotten to the I love you conversation because the person did randomly blurt it out. And then years later was like, oh, I didn't mean to say it. So like, I was like, I am not repeating this again, especially with someone that I'm absolutely crazy about. So yes, no. I did say it back right away after I made sure that like that wasn't like a, oh, you're so cute, I love you, or like this is fun, I love you. Like this was like a genuine I love you. And then yeah, we were
yeah. I think honestly, the boyfriend I had before was 10 years older than me, and I don't think that at my life now, that would be a difference. That would be such a difference. But from 21 to 31, that's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big life spread. And so while I was just starting to like party legally and do all the things that I was doing and hanging out, he was already past that. And so while he kind of compromised and stuff and hung out with me in the beginning, he was starting to not want to do that. And I was starting to feel like I was like already married and not having anything new by just living with somebody. And I was already starting to feel like this wasn't for me. But also at the same time, like, I don't know if it's cause it was his work or whatever, but like I was really fucking horny at that time and it just wasn't doing it for me.
Man, I showed up like 2-3 years too late.
So then I get this Jewish stallion, right? And I don't know about you ladies that like, you know, not right now. I'm too tired to think about that. But like when you're like, oh my gosh, like steamy sex scene in the shower and the bathtub, like take me on the table or whatever, like all of those things now were happening that never happened before. So I guess that's where I was thinking I wanted to just like hoe around because I just wanted to just be satisfied whether it was like a committed relationship or not. I didn't get it from my committed relationship. So I was just like, okay, I just want to like just have these sexcapades with like anybody. And then here comes Chaz, like, I don't know, young, 25, with all the stamina ever. I mean, like, one time we went, like, what, 6 times or something like that? I mean, if DoorDash had, I probably would be longer, but we literally had to get out of bed to, like, get food. But, yeah, I mean, I think I was looking for something that I didn't know could come from a relationship because I hadn't had that before. And so all like the fantasies I was getting. And so I think I was just like holding out like, okay, listen, I'm getting everything I wanted and more from this guy. Like, just why not this guy? Why not? And I couldn't answer that. And I just like slowly started. So while it wasn't like love at first sight or anything like that, because I was already with someone, it slowly progressed to, I do love this person. And I think for me, that's better, right? Because if it was about looks or whatever, that stuff fades, you know? I mean, I'm not saying that looks, but it, you have to connect, right? You have to connect on a deeper level. And so we were connecting through that whole time, whether it was like through conversation, through like stuff at work that we could relate with, or like physically, you know, all that time. And that's how a relationship goes. You know, you just like fall more and more in love with this person that you're dating, you know, and call it dating or not dating, whatever. But we were exclusive. I was not dating anyone during that time, even though I wasn't committed to you. So I feel like I prefer that way, you know? But in terms of like you being Jewish, from New York, and I am Mexican from Texas. Did you think that there couldn't be a relationship with me because of that?
No, I didn't think that at all.
Even your family, like, was not opposed, was didn't want you to, like, okay, you have to marry a Jewish girl.
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Okay.
That no, okay. So, yeah, that was a really short answer. So I think a couple of pieces of context in terms of why. And this was also really interesting when we were watching You People, mm-hmm. a few months ago, and how much that applies, right? Because if you remember, right, Jonah Hill's character, like, it's never the black white relationship isn't an issue for him. It's not an issue for mm-hmm. his family, even right, aside from the fact that they might say the wrong stuff here and there, right? But like, there aren't any concerns with that relationship, and so I think there are a couple of reasons why. One is, you know, for me, I, even though growing up in suburban New Jersey, which is like, you know, arguably like an incredibly sheltered place. And, you know, I won't disagree that I had, you know, that essential lifestyle, but I had, very open and accepting parents, grew up with my closest friends being sort of like of the, you know, the non-white deal, being in the theater for, you know, for as long, which is always like just on that premise of like, it's a family, all are welcome. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Like to me, you know, there wasn't that issue, but I think it's very similar to that movie where, right, from Jonah Hill's perspective, for him, the barrier is only in his mind, like, are you prejudiced? Are you racist? And if the answer is no, then like, it's easy. It's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, there are all these other kind of complexities when you're not necessarily in that scenario. And so I think for me, that's why it seems so simple for me to say, you know, for me to say yes, is just, you know, growing up in the background that I, you know, that I have, but also not having all other complexities beyond just sort of a simple, demographics, ethnicities, like is that an issue? Like once that's a no, then there are no other things. And it's not, the reality is it's not that simple. When mm-hmm. you grow up like I did, you just don't get exposed to the complications beyond the obvious.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so easy for me to say no, is because for me, it's like I could clear the obvious.
Yeah, and I think
the underneath wasn't.
Yeah, I think having been with me for so long, I mean, you now know, like, you, it, to me, like, it was a bubble for you. Such a bubble, right? And for me, growing up how I grew up, and knowing so many different races, I think for me, it was more of a, you're going to be like culture shocked with all the things that I tell you or introduce you to, or like everything. I thought more it would be an issue you dating me than you thought it would be an issue you dating me. You know what I mean? But the first time you met my family was at my mom's 50th birthday, which had all my family there. It was at a Mexican restaurant and we rented the party room, and it was so much fun. We easily had about 50 people there, and Chaz, like, I think I was at work and I was like, hey, do you want to come to my mom's birthday tonight? And he said, sure. Sure, yeah. And I brought him along, and
we had been dating.
God bless him.
We had been officially together for like 2 days.
Yes. And so I was like, God bless him. He's going to meet all my family. And he did. And it was so fun. I don't know if he was in shock or happy or I don't know. What was your first thing? I mean, my mom danced with him. I crawled on the table mm-hmm. to him.
No, even before that. So I remember doing tequila shots with your brother, who at the time would have been like 16, 17.
If I was 23, he would have been 18.
18. Okay, fine.
So, oh, not, but still not 21. Right, yeah.
Doing tequila shots with your brother. And then your cousin turning to me and saying, welcome to the family. And so, that was just an amazing feeling of, and connectivity. And everything that you were worried about was something that I incredibly loved. And it is that contrast, right? Huge family, crazy family.
Jewish family, two cousins.
Well, yes.
Like so. It was literally Fools Rush In, like the movie, mm-hmm. but like real life. That's how I felt. And my family was the stereotypical family of that, you know? And so like you had more resources than I did. You know, when I visited his house in New Jersey, he doesn't have a fence in his backyard. And the first thing I think about is, holy shit, you know how to fence? People don't break into your house, you know? Or like when I said, hey, let's go to a bar. And he's like, Tenafly doesn't have a bar. And I'm like, where the fuck?
Yeah, Tenafly, New Jersey is not where you go to get hammered.
Literally, it was such a contrast from my upbringing to his upbringing that I was like, this is never going to work. Like literally, this is just too crazy to work. Even though we liked each other and were working, I was like, there is no way this relationship is going to work, you know? I don't know. There was just so many things, right? So many. And I didn't know, like, maybe you accepted them, but your family couldn't. Like, I just didn't know. I never dated anyone who wasn't already exposed to those things. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of stuff. So fast forward, I don't know, a year and a half we're dating and you get a job, a promotion to go to Chicago. And I already said I would, because of my old relationship, I was a little just not traumatized, but
hadn't gotten it yet, by the way. I was applying.
Okay.
But yes.
But I had already said I would never live with somebody else unless I was engaged, because it just felt so monotonous that I didn't want to feel like I was married unless I was actually had a ring. So I had already said that to myself. But you were really, like, the likelihood of you going to Chicago was really high.
It was high, yeah.
Yeah. And so talk about you asking about getting engaged.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I will say, just for those listening, this was not an engagement that was prompted by, hey, we're going to move, so I better put a ring on it. That was coincidental timing. There were other things leading up that, you know, that helped me get to that decision. But to that point, so I did take your parents out to lunch to ask for their blessing. Your father gave it instantly. I have no idea what I said to ask. Like, it was just completely blabbing.
My dad was like, yeah, take my daughter.
He did. Like, it was just like, he extended his hand. He said, you have my blessing. And then your mom looked at me and started, there was a little bit of the third degree that was, is that what you want, Chaz? Is that really what you want?
Do you know tell my me daughter? Why... Are you sure you
no,
want that?
No, it wasn't that. It was tell me why you're in love with my daughter. And there were a lot of, which was very intense and intimidating given things. And it is, you know, as you know, I have incredible love and respect for your mom. And so she is a mom to me.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
And so the intimidation factor is super high. But after I listed everything out, what she said, and this is, I think this is related to everything that you talked about, what the reason she said, the reason that she was asking me For all those reasons, why I wanted to marry you was that there are so many complexities and issues that come up in a marriage that you always need to remember the heart of why you wanted to get married. And if you keep remembering that, then all these complexities and these issues, they aren't a problem because you're always remembering that at a heart. And I think, honestly, the intent of that links to just everything that we're talking about, or even, you know, the reel that you have where I'm talking about the collection of exceptions, or, you know, or just the probabilities of certain horoscopes coming together and it being a low probability. But I think the heart of really what your mom was getting at is true love and true connection transcends everything. It transcends complexities. It transcends probabilities. And so as long as that is there and you never lose sight of it, all that other stuff is irrelevant.
That's deep. Ball drop. Mic drop.
Ball drop.
I don't know. Yeah, I remember you telling me that you took them out and that my dad like basically was like giving me away in so many ways.
I think he appreciated the gravity of the, like, just the nerves that I had and all that kind of stuff. And obviously they knew what was going on. It was the first time that I've taken them out to, like, what else could it basically be?
I know. And like, regardless of all of that, or in hindsight of all that, whatever, however you want to say it, like, our families have only come together during the rehearsal dinner and our wedding, because I know my family is so different from your family, and it's even more different now that there is no way I want your family to hang out with my family. Like, your family would be in total shock of my family's comments and conversation and just like jokes. I don't know. I mean, I'm embarrassed, or like other people won't come around, much less like your family. Like, I just, how do you feel? Like, our family could not commingle.
You obviously worry about it more than, you know, more than I do, but I understand why.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate how in those dynamics there could be a lot of fear of, you know, judgment or perspectives or any of that stuff. And I mean, I think what's interesting, obviously my family could get uncomfortable, but like, just because, discomfort and judgment are, you know, sometimes they're linked, sometimes they're different. I mean, this would be a situation where they're different, but it's a, you worry about it more than I do.
I guess so. But like, in the 18 years I've known you, no one's ever in your family ever, ever, ever brought up, like, let's just say sex. And that is like probably a really, really, really big topic with me and my cousins about, like, just talking about it.
Oh, just thinking about talking about that with my brother, sister, parents.
Exactly,
like,
right? There'd be so
I'm very grateful
many.
that they don't listen to this podcast.
Well,
so.
But I'm also very grateful that my family does talk about that, because that is how we are. And you know, like, I am my mom. I am, you know, part my dad. Like, we are who we are. And just that is also why, like, I guess there was just a lot of hesitation. It had nothing to do with you. It was just like all about the dynamics that came with both of us.
Yeah, one introvert is manageable. A whole family of introverts is chaos.
With the whole family. And I'm like the one of the lesser extroverts in my family, probably. My dad being the most, not the most appropriate extrovert, but he also can talk to like a wall, or
sometimes he does, actually.
but I mean, so, you know, full circle, you know, where we've been married for 15 years, what do you think has been the biggest challenge of our marriage? We've been through a lot, we've been through a lot. I would say more than, and this is where I said in the beginning, more than the typical, is because we, you're Jewish, I'm Mexican. You come from New York, I'm from Texas. We've had 3 kids, one of which is special needs, which already is very hard on a relationship. I think that my family has been very from the beginning, like sharing, because my sister had the baby, and your family, like your brothers and sisters, were still single and you were the only one married. So let's talk about, with all of those challenges, what do you think has been our biggest challenge as a couple? And there could be more than one, but in your mind.
You kind of hit at it at that point of just certain adjustments that your family has gone through a lot sooner in the timeline than my family has and had to work through, right? So my family, much smaller, two of my grandparents passed away when I was really young, and one of the two that was surviving was living 20 minutes from our house, mm-hmm. and then the other one had an estranged relationship with my father. So the dynamic of seeing family, balancing time with each other, overall dynamics of spending time with each other, it that was different. And I think I don't think this is a question of religion, but I do think geography it plays in, mm-hmm. much more. I think, yeah. New York Northeast perspective is very career first oriented. Mm-hmm. Meaning that it's very acceptable in all situations for like the company to own you, so to speak, right? Like if the company needs you for these hours, you do that, no question. You travel here, you travel there. Like there is no, hey, I can't do this because I've got to spend time with my family. And so I think making the different adjustments and setting aside more just the ways that we grew up and were sort of told, hey, this is the family dynamic, not told, but exposed to, hey, this is the family dynamic, this is how work-life balance occurs, and just the collision of those two dynamics, I think, just created different scenarios for us to work with. Does that make sense? You're looking at me like,
no,
you're really
I guess I just don't follow you. Like, what does that have to do with like our marriage? Like specifically, like, are you saying your job was a big challenge in our relationship?
No, I mean, I'm saying that. So there, right? So we had to. I'm on a completely different career path because of our marriage and your preferences, right? Based on like, hey, Chaz, given your choice, what would you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there were things where, there were opportunities that I passed up, right? Because of things that, you had asked or, you had.
But
you
that
needed.
Also had to deal with like our daughter, right?
These were conversations that we had before Breslin was born where some of those things
came
to
head. Okay, so you're talking about like me wanting to stay in Texas?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. Wanting to stay in Texas, agnostic, mm-hmm. of what the, mm-hmm. opportunity was, all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So there was, right, there was obviously a reformat even before Breslin was born, and obviously, Breslin shifted that dynamic, mm-hmm. and then, yeah, I mean, and you've talked about it on other podcasts, right? There's, there's the dynamic of family stuff and my family, because they haven't had to go through the complexities of of sharing time, or traveling back and forth, just haven't necessarily had the, you know, the perspective to know. And so, you know, they've, you know, while they've asked for things and have created some tensions without really understanding the different dynamics, that your family, having gone through that already, kind of has the
let me point out differently. And we don't need to go into detail about this, but do you think that our biggest challenges arose between us or a result of other people? Like, if it hadn't been for other people, would we have had those challenges?
Probably not.
Okay. I just think it, like, I mean, I know Sujata has talked about this as well. Like, it just sucks that, and I don't think that that's our biggest challenge. I don't think that that has been our biggest.
So what would you say our biggest challenge has been?
I think for me, it is, first off, I think it wasn't a challenge. I think it was a big something to overcome was Breslin. Having a special needs daughter and us not having any knowledge of anyone else who in our families that had special needs, or anyone in our circle of friendship or neighbors with special needs. And so I think not only did that naturally create a challenge for us as a family, but I think between you and I, we definitely had to go through it. I know I turned a lot to my faith to get me through that time. And I remember you distinctly, and like, I literally went through a phase where I went down that path so much where you said, "Hey, I don't know where you're going with this, but at some point I can't not support you, but I can't join you." Right? Because you're Jewish, and I was going through like Jesus and stuff like that. So it's not like, I'm afraid that you're going to go to a point where I can't be with you, not physically be with you or relationship be with you, but like, I can't go with you down that path of healing. Right? Or something like that. Do you remember that?
I know what you're talking about. I think it's,
you're like, I don't want you to be so like crazy about that.
No. So I know exactly what you're talking about. It was more I don't know if I have the ability to literally be, from a faith perspective,
right,
at
that's
the
what
exact
I meant.
Same,
that's what I meant.
Same,
yeah,
time.
Because you're Jewish. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. And so luckily I didn't need to go down further. I found my healing, and
but there was complete support. I think, like,
oh,
I just want to be clear in terms,
yes,
of like,
no,
the,
no, no. We
the
both support.
So this was a, so just to be clear.
Yeah.
When I said that was to preempt a, if you were going to say to me, "Hey Chaz, I need you to start doing X, Y, Z from a faith perspective," that I was saying, I don't know if you start listing out requirements, yeah, and expectations of me on a faith side, if I can go there. Right.
Right.
Meaning I don't, you know, I don't, do I think that, or, but you know, would I,
if, I was going, okay. I was going a little deep and I get it.
It actually, I wasn't
no,
concerned.
I understand,
didn't.
But when you said, "I don't think I can join you in that journey that you're going through," I knew exactly what it was. It wasn't about, it was like totally faith-based.
Yeah.
And I get that. I totally get that. I think that challenged just a lot. And then through that, it changed me so much in a good and bad way. It changed me in a good way for being more accepting of other people, more giving the benefit of the doubt and everything. But also, on the contrary to that, it gave me like, listen, I don't have any patience for anything. If it doesn't align with my family, if it doesn't align with what's best for Breslin, if it doesn't align with like what's best for our, I literally had no patience. And I know we went through a time after that, that things were not working out with like, whether it be with your family or my family, where I just like shut down. And I was just like, listen, I don't feel that they're being supportive or understanding of our situation, especially with Breslin. So I'm fucking peacing out. I'm done. Right. We had a horrible, horrible, horrible night. One night that, and I think when you look back on it, it was like the turn for the better, but it was like, you have to hit rock bottom, not rock bottom, but you have to go through a really, really low to recognize you need to work on something to bring you back up. Because if it was just a little argument, you just go little, but little arguments like culminate and progress and form a ball that you like eventually literally have to address. Otherwise, you're always going to have these arguments and that's just not going to be healthy. So we had a terrible, terrible, terrible night. And I said, what? I'm out. I'm done with this. And then we went to counseling. And there was a lot of things both you and I had to work on together. And then there was a bunch of things we had to work on separately. But I feel like without the counseling, like we needed that. We needed that on our marriage. Whether it was for Breslin, for us, to how to deal with other people, I feel like marriage counseling was the best thing to happen to us. Do you think that? No, you don't agree?
Yeah, well, no. So you mentioned a lot. So
I did.
There are a lot
but
of things.
But you don't have to address everything.
No, I don't have to address everything. I mean, what I am going to say is to your point about Breslin. So I'd argue that for me as an individual, that was probably one of the most difficult things to go through as a couple. I feel like on that one, that was something where to me, we were still, I mean, your comments obviously were relevant from a religious perspective. I feel also at that time, like you and I were together, like hands held, we're going to conquer this. And so to me, I viewed that less as a relationship challenge because I still viewed us as like doing that as one together. Right.
But I also feel like this is the challenge, right? You had to be strong for me, but I feel like you never got your opportunity to be like weak and endure your grief for whatever it was. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grieved for the life that I thought our daughter would have, the life that I thought we would have, our family dynamic, and you were strong for me. But you never got to that opportunity, you know what I mean, to do that. So that's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
That was a challenge.
Yeah, I got that. So the whole thing with, you know, with therapy being able to help us. I think what it helped reframe was, there were things that we fought about that I didn't feel until we went through therapy, or I didn't see that it was something where you were jointly looking out for me at the same time. And so what I mean by that, right? So there were, you know, so it was, you know, it was after a handful of things of like, you know, our, you know, my parents, what they said, what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going through the therapy dynamic, and it was actually having a conversation afterwards, because even going into therapy, like in that session, like I was not happy.
Yeah,
I kind of felt afterwards where it was like, okay, did you get what you wanted out of that? Where it took a while for me to feel like it wasn't you versus me. Mm-hmm. And it was more you were with me looking out for me.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the irony is the therapy helped us get to that discussion. That didn't come out in the therapy with the therapist, but it helped.
But
having
she
that,
basically told you, you didn't accept it. You didn't accept what she told you at that moment.
No. I did accept what she told me, but I felt that it was at the time. It was still like it was,
right.
It was an attack towards me.
Right. But after processing it, then you realize like, oh shit, light bulb turned on. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, we just, you and I had a discussion after that session in a way that we hadn't had conversations before.
Yeah. And so I think now after the marriage counseling, and she also told us about our daughter and how, you know, a routine is very special, is very essential to special needs kids. And when they, like, basically, we need to put our family first. And for everyone else in a relationship, your family means your husband or wife and your kids, not your mom, not your dad, not your sister, brother, best friend. Your immediate family, the people who stay under your roof every fucking night, that's who you need to make happy. That should be your priority. You cannot make everyone happy. You cannot please everyone. That is impossible. If you're trying to do that, it's just self-destructive. But us being a team after marriage counseling, and we were a team before, but like I feel like we're a team, but then some people came in and tried to like break the team a little bit, not intentionally, but unknowingly. But we, like, our best lives are right now. I feel like right now, Chaz and I, you and I are just like, we know. We have each other's backs. We know what's good for our family. We're not scared to speak up. We're not scared to say anything. And in the end of the day, honestly, if someone cannot accept your answer to things, that's fine. You don't owe them a reason for anything. You're not responsible for the way you react to the decisions you make. I mean, if they are not happy, that's their problem, not your problem. And I feel like when you finally get there as a couple in whatever regard in a marriage, like you're one, that's what makes you guys strong.
Yeah, what you're getting at is there's this sweet spot. I mean, you're talking about it in terms of our family, and that is absolutely the priority for us, and it is for many people. It can depend on, you know, whatever it is there. But it's like once you identify who or what are the few things in your life that you can't let down, you can't deprioritize no matter what, and you know that's, you know, that's the truth, and you're truly committed to doing that, then all the things that you're talking about become very easy. The hard thing is like truly being able to draw those lines and being okay with the outcome. Like it takes a lot of courage and
it takes
all that
a lot
kind of stuff.
And then a lot of people don't realize that until later in their stage of life where they stop caring about what others think and just do what they want to do. But I feel like for us, Breslin just like super shot that.
Yeah, it helped
like,
to accelerate that.
Exactly. Yeah. So like at 35, I was already like, fuck that. Yeah. I'm not doing that shit. Like, no, go. Right. So if you were not on board with what we were, I was already like, you know, bad attitude. I'm not into it, whatever. So, I mean, I guess what we're trying to say is like, what are we trying to say, babe? With all of our challenges or differences or whatever, and our horoscopes telling us that we are 38% chance, there is always the other chance.
Well, is that all that stuff, the two things that are absolutely critical, right? One is love in the true essence of your relationship. As long as you're in tune with that, that transcends everything. And then secondly, as long as you have a clear set of who is absolutely critical and important, mm-hmm. and you don't deviate from that, then, you know, everything else, because just the stakes feel less.
Exactly.
If the pressure feels less.
If like you all minimize that, the circle of who you need to please to your immediate family, then shit becomes so much easier, right? And if people become pissed off at you, and they will, fuck them. Fuck them. Just say, hey, if you can't get on board, oh well, who cares?
There's enough stress in life and
exactly.
Anxiety-driven elements that you have no control over, that if you don't get rid of the ones that you can control, like it takes you over.
And we're both on anxiety pills, so that fuck. We've yeah. already taken care.
The drugs help. The drugs help a lot.
We're better parents because of it.
But okay, so sorry. So here's the third element though, right? Even joking, that is, there's an aspect to being okay with being vulnerable and going through that, you know, that helps, whether or not it's the self-help, the medication that you need, the having those tough conversations around prioritization. Mm-hmm. Like once you're also okay with that, it is, you get the help you need, you can have the tough conversations that you want, and you can also
take,
it's not only just being vulnerable, but being okay with the vulnerability and casting out those that aren't, you know, that basically throw that in your face. Like those three elements, like, really tough to do, but if you can do that,
it's really tough for you to
it changes the game.
Prioritize
fast.
Yourself, your family first, because you will get so much shit from other people. Stay strong. I'm telling you, it's the best thing for your family, the best thing for your marriage. It's not going to be easy. You will get shit. You will go through shit. But you and I, in all of our years together, pre-kids or after kids, this time is our best time. Right? Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm nodding. I'm nodding. This is the worst. You're going to have to edit this down so much.
Okay.
This is...
Anyway. All right. So that was our podcast. I hope you... liked our special guest, Chaz. Say hi. Say bye.
Yeah, please don't put like hateful comments in the
Oh, I don't care. We'll deal with it. We don't care. Good, bad, ugly. Doesn't matter. Anyway, rate us on where you're hearing this podcast. Follow us on our Instagram, and we will see you later.
Bye, y'all.